For those looking for a liberatory martial arts learning approach and curriculum, we've created Liberation Martial Arts. It doesn't just teach you martial arts, it's also an approach to learning movement skills. The whole point of our program is to remove the need for a coach, to liberate you from the need of top-down instruction and toxic gyms. If you have a coach and also have a gym, then you can apply our learning approach to improve your progress. Or maybe you also need a supplemental martial arts community as a counter to the commercial gym you go to. You can actually apply our learning approach to learn anything, and our practitioners are. They're applying it to all sorts of things, whether physical, mental, or even personal. It's just a radically different approach to everything. Sign up for Liberation Martial Arts at the Southpaw Pod Patreon, or support us by signing up for one of the other tiers, and help us support this project while also getting access to bonus content, like early releases of SDS9 with transcripts. SDS9 Season 3 was recorded from the beginning of 2023 to early 2024 and was first published on Patreon. Now that we're done with the season, the entire season is being released all at once on the Southpaw public feed. Find Season 4 on the Southpaw Pod Patreon. This episode was recorded on February 29, 2024. We are back with Southpaw Deep Space Nine Season 3. If you don't know what SDS9 is, it's Southpaw's completest DS9 watch-along show, where we watch every episode, recap it, and analyze it. We are your hosts, Scott and Sam. Scott is someone who's watched DS9 more than once, whereas I'm someone who's casually watched some episodes when it first aired, but this is my first time watching each episode in earnest. One of the cool things is this also gives us different perspectives. After we watch each episode, we come together and talk about it. Scott gives us the play-by-play along with his insights, while I analyze scenes that stuck out for me from a political perspective or a media studies perspective. We are discussing the Season 3 finale, Episode 26, The Adversary. Scott, we made it. And I'd like to take a moment to thank you for being on this journey with me.
Thanks, Sam. I appreciate it.
Scott, can you tell us about this episode?
So let's be both figurative and literal. Right now, we know that Ben has grown his beard a few episodes earlier. And up until this moment, he was Commander Sisko. But at the beginning of this episode, we hear Ben talking to the command log, his log. This is the last entry where I will be commander, which makes you think one thing. But no, it is not what you think it is. Ben, at the beginning of this episode, is made a captain, and all of his colleagues are there. And in the war room, Jake, his son, puts a fourth pip on his dad's uniform. Everyone is happy, and Quark pours fancy champagne, which of course he's putting on everyone else's tab. And then Ambassador Krasinski drops news that there is a coup on the Zinkenthi homeworld, and that he will join Sisko on the Defiant to remind the Zinkenthi of the Federation presence and support, because they exist kind of, you know, on the border, the Alpha and the Gamma and the wormhole and all that politics. And Sisko asks Miles to prep. And as Miles preps in the engine room, he hears a noise but finds that no one is there. And the theme song comes on in.
Da-da-da-da!
On Ben's first log as captain, he is not ready to be poetic. Jadzia asks Ben to reach out to Cassidy. As we know, Cassidy Yates is, it feels like she's being set up to be Ben's love interest. It's the lady that Ben has been courting. We met her a couple episodes ago. She's been talked about all throughout the end of the season. They've dated 2 to 3 times. Everyone in the station wants some hot gossip, but Ben is like, look, we're going to watch baseball from when Yates gets back. And as we know, Ben's favorite game is baseball, which until we meet Cassidy Yates has not existed for hundreds of years, but Yates's brother plays baseball and they have this connection through baseball. So, baseball. And on the Defiant, they go warp 8 to get to the Zinkethi border, and Miles is noodling, but really can't find anything. He's worrying that he's seeing someone, but it just is like someone appears. He sees Bashir, who's like, I've been working on this medical science chip. Let me put this medical science chip into the ship. And Miles is like, damn, bro, this is a really good medical science chip. In the mess hall, Sisko tells security officer Eddington, who showed up at the beginning of the season, who's like sort of like a company man, to keep the ambassador safe in cases and Kathy act up, and if need be, take him off the bridge, because often ambassadors will try to take the captain's chair and they don't want that. And Eddington congratulates Sisko on the promotion. He's like, I always wanted to do more and go higher. And Sisko's like, look, if like I could transfer you to get to like a command position, but he's like, Eddington's like, I have to protect the ambassador. This is my lot. This is what I got to do. On the bridge, Odo gets a distress call from Brisa Prime, but the connection is lost. What's going on? The Defiant can't contact Brisa Prime and worries that there's going to be, when they get there, there's going to be a war between them and the Zinkathi. And they try to reach out to the closest friendly ship, which is the Ulysses, which is hours away at light speed. But the comms are acting up, so O'Brien and Dax go take a look in like the Jeffries tube, which is where all this stuff is happening. There's like these strange like tendril things that are messing with the Defiant, like some sort of plasma particles. O'Brien tells Sisko they weren't there when they left Deep Space Nine. I'm suggesting a sabotage. And O'Brien is like, look, all I can say is that I saw Bashir doing some stuff. And Dax has an idea that whoever did the sabotage would have Tetrion particles on them, so they test for particles. Bashir is clean. Miles is relieved as he is worried that it was Bashir after seeing him in the tube. And Bashir's like, what? I wasn't at the tube. So as they scan the ambassador, he reveals he is a changeling. Boop-ba-boop! So once they realize that there's a changeling on board, Ben tries to stop the warp, but not only is the warp not stopping, the weapons are getting readied, and Deep Space Nine crew is no longer in control of the ship. And no one can find the changeling, but Odo senses they are still there. They're like, damn, the Dominion are trying to create a war. They're probably trying to set up a situation with the Zinkathi and the Federation. And maybe all of this has been a lie. It's possible the ambassador was never even on Deep Space Nine. And that the Dominion may be hoping that the war, that a war with the Zinkath and the Starfleet would make the Alpha Quadrant weak and ripe for the Dominion to come in. And again, finding a changeling is hard. So, and Odo is like, I don't rock with guns. I've never rocked with guns. I've never taken a life, which I would argue he may never have physically taken a life, but he's a cop and he won't hurt a changeling. Up until now, this has never happened, as far as we know, in the history of the Great Link, which is the changeling race. Then they find Dax has been knocked unconscious, and so who's been helping Miles with all this? So Miles is going to have to fix the ship by himself. And Ben is like, look, I'm not going to get out of warp and start a war, so if we have to, I am ready to set up the self-destruct protocol. Ben is like, let's set the crew up in two-person teams with the destabilizing phaser guns that will sort of just like make people not be like show up and be goo if they're changeling, and scan the ship. The squad just like keeps on shooting and scanning and trying to find people. Eddington and Odo talk about what it is to exist. Ben and his person are attacked by the changeling and the Jeffrey tube. And then the standoff happens with Kira, this blue fella, and Ben, because anyone could be a changeling except Ben, because he's bleeding. Changelings don't bleed. So Bashir will draw blood from the team. Blue guy is okay. Kira's okay. Eddington blood suggests he's a changeling, but he's incredibly nonplussed, suggesting that he's not. So then they realize that at this happens, Bashir shows up. So it turns out that the Bashir that's been taking the blood is a changeling. And they're getting closer and closer to the border, which is going to start a potential war. And they're just like heading to space. So Ben and Kira decide to arm the auto-destruct. We got 10 minutes before everything goes boom, boom, boom. Miles posits that if he can stop the changeling force field with the tentacles, that would lower the Defiance force field and everything would be okay, but they would be ripe for attack, but like it would be okay because they wouldn't be in control. There are a few moments left, and then two Odos show up. And Miles needs to figure out which is the real Odo, but they're both being like, check out this stuff. I'm the Odo. Miles is able to shut down the grid, and the changeling, the non-Odo changeling shows up and offers to link with Odo, but Odo's like no and pushes him into this like energy field, killing the changeling, who on their death whispers something inaudible into Odo's ear. And again, this is the first recorded instance of changeling on changeling violence. The ship gets back to order. There was never a coup. The ambassador is actually missing. And then Odo reveals that what he was told was, you're too late. We are everywhere. And the end of season 3.
A note to our listeners. If you love the Southpaw Project, please support us and help us get paid for our labor by financially supporting us on Patreon. This will give you access to exclusive bonus content, like early releases of Southpaw Deep Space Nine, our fictional narrative podcast, Fighter's Brew, break-free versions of our shows without interruptions like you're hearing now, bonus articles, Fighter's Brew transcripts with extra content, Liberation Martial Arts Online, as well as our private chat group on Discord. You can also make one-time donations at Ko-Fi or show your solidarity by wearing our swag. You can find all pertinent links at southpawpod.com. Thank you, Scott, for the recap and insights. In the opening scene, we hear Odo say, I don't understand this human obsession over rank and title. And it's quite the indictment on humans. Even he thinks it's too much. This led nicely into a lot of scenes where Odo doesn't fit nicely into any category. And in fact, Starfleet is more military and cop-like than Odo. But for one, unlike Starfleet members, he has no weapon and has never killed anyone. So who are the real cops here? The episode talked about how humans are all about rank and title. Odo isn't lying. People go by title, and therefore Odo is the cop. But if you look at who has the weapons, who kills, who has material power, it's Starfleet members. In a past episode, we saw Mirror Odo get blown up, literally disgustingly eviscerated by Bashir without a second thought. And there was also previous episodes when there was some kind of changeling monster, and then Odo was getting into a hat to fight it, and they were like, I'll just kill Odo if you gotta. So Starfleet members, crew, obviously has material power, the weapons they have killed, are willing to kill, have killed without a second thought. So again, humans obsess over rank and title. Even though this is like the material realities, the canon of the show, people remember the rank and title. Odo is the constable. The episode itself brought up carrying a gun several times. And we see Starfleet officers grab guns right away. Guns are a symbol of U.S. power and diplomacy and freedom. It's both a symbol and historic relic. It's important in U.S. media, entertainment media. Have gun will travel. Gun always means law and justice. But U.S. also has more gun violence than any other country. The episode might have been playing to the sheriff without a gun motif, but at the same time, the U.S. obsession over guns still reveals itself in the writing of the writers and producers, but also guns are just normal fixtures, even in Star Trek and a lot of other U.S. media. You just see guns. It doesn't even have to be cop shows. There's just always going to be guns. And to add to that, you don't really realize that how often guns show up in U.S. media unless you spend a lot of time watching media from other countries. And then you're like, whoa. There's a lot of guns in U.S. media. Another theme of this episode was manufacturing consent. False flags and false information to start a war are all things the U.S. has done. But the U.S. also accuses everyone else of doing what it's done. So every accusation is a confession. In this episode, instead of Starfleet doing this, of course, it's the bad guy TM doing this. Another tactic which the episode ended on was that there are foreign assets everywhere. For the sake of our quote-unquote self-defense, we must preemptively attack and annihilate. Not knowing who the spy was reminded me a lot of Cold War and terrorist scare propaganda. Could they be among us? Which was used to violate a lot of human rights, justify murder and torture in the U.S. and by U.S. hegemony, let alone justify wars. Though you can't call what the U.S. engages in as war because all the damage is one-sided. Even the Vietnam quote-unquote war, which the U.S. supposedly lost, but really, Vietnam incurred all the damage because it all was fought on their soil, because their soil is what the U.S. wanted. It's not really wars, but U.S.-led or supported bombings, genocides, and ethnic cleansings. Victory just means you get them to stop. It's not that you did the same to them. Also related, it's Starfleet and Romulans and Cardassians who have violated and attacked the Dominions first. But okay, self-defense, sure. Manufacturing consent, they did it first, even though we did it first. But then we have this comparison where they're willing to heroically blow up their ship to avoid a war with the Zenketi, but they never do this whenever it's bad guy TM. From a dramatic standpoint, the tension and acting and mood, all riveting. Even the way the actors were blocking scenes, the way they were moving, was all top-notch. And when in the end there was a standoff where one of two people could be the spy, despite all the fetishizing of guns in this episode, you're just waiting for some shootout, for people to get shot up. It was the lonely extra who decided not to shoot and sort it out later. Good for him. Though I think earlier they mentioned all the guns were set on stun, so even if he had shot them, it probably would have been okay. However, since so many crew members were gun happy and ready to shoot each other, you thought for sure they would just shoot the potential spies, so it also subverted my expectations. I thought one thing and they went with another, just like how the episode started. It was a little clickbaity, but they made it seem like this was an episode where Sisko dies, but no, he was promoted. So there was a lot of baiting and reversal of expectations.
Well, yeah, because also at the time when the show came out, there was controversy that he wasn't a captain, that the black character was a commander, didn't have four pips. So this was sort of like a course correction, but also it did make sense that in his career, he had definitely done enough to be a captain at this point.
That actually changes my read a little bit, because then when they're like, oh, you people care so much about rank and title. It's like, wait a minute then. If that was controversy, who are these people? Who are these people you're saying are obsessed? Are you complaining about black people and people of color and liberals and leftists and quote unquote social justice warriors who were like, this guy should be a captain, not a commander? And I agree. He should have always started out as a captain. It didn't even make sense why he was a commander. And so maybe that was a little diss, a little jab, a little passive-aggressive jab at the critics, at those people. Scott, your grade and thoughts about this season finale and the wrap-up of season 3?
So I'm going to give this a 4.5 because it sets everything up. It's sort of like letting you know, like, oh, the Dominion is on some shit. It's coming to get you. If you thought the Dominion wasn't a big deal, it's going to be. Nothing is the same from here. From here, the Deep Space Nine, you think you like Deep Space Nine now? Bro, Deep Space Nine just started.
Okay, so this wasn't just about a riveting season 3 finale and like kind of like a way to wrap up the season. This was almost like a precursor to the beginning of season 4.
Right. I give it a 4.5 just because of what it sets up, because it's not like that good of a season finale. In fact, I think the season 2 finale is a better finale than the season 3 finale. But again, it's setting you up. It's letting you know, like, oh, our show has just started.
Until then. If you like this episode and like what we do, support us on Patreon. We also have the Liberation Martial Arts program if you want to train with us from wherever you are. It's both theory and practice and removes the need for an instructor. What you're learning is how to teach yourself. It's also an approach you can take with you from the gym into the world. Sponsors get a monthly training session with me, either in person or online. Supporting me not only helps me pay my bills, but it also helps me support my family. Find all our links, including Southpaw merch, at southpawpod.com.